Welcome back to the Mail-In Podcast. I am your host, Brett Merriman. In front of me, one of my favorite guests on the Mail-In, whenever he comes on, we have... Oh, I didn't write your intro. Shoot. I should have written you a better
intro.
Good
enough. Third time's a charm. I'm happy to be here.
KJ Ellis is in the building. What's going on? KJ E double hockey sticks.
There we go. IS. There we go. Brett, I've told you before, as much as I love talking sports and love my co-hosts on Too Much Dip, any time that time can be made for me to sit down with you on the Mail-In is the highlight of the week. So I could not be happier to be here. I mean that genuinely. I felt terrible about my performance in round two. It was post like lake trip slash river trip. So I was working on fumes, but good people out there. Your boy is ready.
Beautiful. We are glad to have you back. I don't think any of your performances have been anything less than excellent, KJ.
Oh,
so, you know, a football coach might disagree there at some point. Anyway, thank you for coming back, John. Yeah. Excited about today's episode. You may be wondering, what is the Mail-In Podcast? We do our best to answer your questions. Pretty simple there. You may run into a situation in your 20s, your 30s, or your 40s, doesn't really matter, that you might need help with. And so we are here to do just that, sort of like an internet therapist. Not like as qualified, but you know, we kind of know what's going on. Anyway.
Except for I can't prescribe you anything.
You might know somebody can. Mm-hmm. How can you help us out? Tell a friend about this podcast. It's the easiest way to get into Wash Media. Send them a clip. We got clips going now with Adam. Shouts to intern Adam over there. And tell a, you know, send it over. If they need help, that's where they can get it. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Follow along on Spotify. Hit the hotline number to ask your question, 888-362-MAIL. That's 888-362-6245. Or you can write in at the link in the Twitter or Instagram bio at Mail-In Podcast. KJ, before we get going, we've already done the screen name thing, so I'm going to ask you this. How's your weekend?
Weekend was about as generic as it could be. Your boy stepped out. Actually, you know, I'm back up. Okay. There's a brand new food hall that opened up in downtown Dallas called The Exchange.
Oh,
AT&T just dumped a ton of money in this area called the AT&T Discovery Plaza. So took the little me up there and the wife and, you know, strolled around, you know, saw the sights, felt like suburban dad pushing a stroller around a new place. But it was good. It was good. I'm big on food halls.
So it's is it outdoor or indoor?
This one's indoor.
Indoor food hall with I would assume a bunch of restaurants and artisan honey and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, not as many like the artisan craft shops like what would you call farmers market-esque.
Okay.
This is essentially take a bunch of one-off like restaurants or high-end food trucks and then create a shopping mall. You know, food court, but make that a standalone thing.
I like that.
And so it's that plus an outdoor amphitheater outside of it, some fountains, you know, the vibes were overall positive.
Two questions for you, follow-ups, just lightning round stuff here. One, if you are going to have a food truck or small space, not a restaurant, what is KJ's food truck?
Cinnamon rolls, with? French toast and cinnamon rolls. That's it. Don't come here for any protein.
No.
I learned a long time ago, there's no dairy in, cream cheese icing has dairy, but it does not count as like, okay, I'm getting my dairy, you know, need for the day, calcium, whatever
from
category
icing.
Taken care of out of icing. But my number one and two favorite foods that exist on this planet are cinnamon rolls followed by French toast. So
ooh, okay.
Those items are getting slung.
Slung big time.
Absolutely. Maybe some water. That's about it. I mean, sparkling.
I love
still.
That answer. I don't know what I expected. I didn't expect that.
Your boy loves the
man,
sweets.
Man, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Question number two.
What about
two?
You? Before we don't get off the hook here, what's Brett's food stall rolling out here?
Grilled cheese.
Okay.
Any number. It is. And it's been done for sure.
Yeah.
But any number of grilled cheeses that have, you know, all kinds of stuff in them.
Crust or no crust?
I'm a crust guy.
Yeah. I don't get the fuss of, you know, eliminating the crust, if you will. That wasn't meant to rhyme, but it doesn't freestyle. Bother me enough to be like, hey, cut this off.
The
second
what's
question.
Important about the crust.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Is shouts to the Gem Saloon, their grilled cheese. They do this. It's a thick piece of sourdough or Texas toast.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they cut it in triangles down the middle and they grill that third side.
Oh.
So you're locking in the flavors, and there's no cheese spout.
I respect that.
And I always really appreciated that touch.
Do you still split the triangle to get that cheese pull in the middle?
No, there's no cheese pull. Okay. There's no cheese pull, but there is the satisfying crunch of biting into like a third grilled side.
I like it. Oh,
so good, so good. Question number two.
Mm-hmm.
When you are doing one of these adventures with the wife and your child,
mm-hmm.
what is your, like, from getting off the couch to car?
Yeah.
How much time does that take with a relatively young child?
So Kai is 11 and a half months, mm-hmm. and we're at that phase of, I feel like we're inexperienced as parents, just given the circumstances of the last year. I would feel like most gotcha. People would have drugged this kid around everywhere, many places. Like even looking at Will and Sally as a good example, like, mm-hmm. you know, they're out to restaurants and all this stuff because Fritz being 2 months old has been alive while things are reopening.
Sure.
Whereas with Kai, it's like we weren't taking him anywhere
gotcha.
For several
okay.
months. So we probably on the longer end, this weekend was, you know, good practice at that. So probably 30 minutes.
Okay. So there's a bag that's packed.
That's assuming like if I'm fully dressed, uh-huh. like everything else,
yeah.
30 minutes.
Baby activities. Yes. They're about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's something that I can't wait to have kids one day, man. That is one thing that I like. My car is going to have 4 million bags of baby stuff
just
in case anything happens.
What I've learned is that there are a lot of benefits to working on a schedule that benefits like the kids' sleep and all of this other stuff and meals. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I try to like reorganize my life for when it comes like, hey, when are we heading out? Is like, all right, let's leave after he's eaten.
Okay.
And or after, you know, we've changed the diaper because
mm-hmm.
this time of year, you're not trying to be standing in the back of your SUV, like swapping out a diaper or in a stuffy, you know, Qualicare 7-Eleven bathroom type situation. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, ideally after one of those situations, so you don't have a fussy kid, everything else is it's pretty simple.
I like it. I like it. I am looking forward to it.
However, about as hard as, you know, I hate when people equate pets and animals or pets and children, not mm-hmm. because like I'm offended by it, but it is certainly one of those situations. Like, I don't know, how hard is it for you to load up the dog if you were going somewhere for more than a day?
Got it. Okay. Okay. I like that. Good to think about. Let's get to the mail-in question,
yes.
shall we? This one comes from Anonymous. I'm going to try to figure out who this is, though, at some point, because I like this question. What's up, crew? I'm in my first season in professional baseball, and I'm
Congrats.
Wondering how I can talk about this with a girl without coming across as a douche or conceited. Shouts to being a pro athlete. I'm proud of my accomplishment, but don't want to come across as trying to pull the pro athlete card. I'm 26, and I would say I'm very much open to finding someone I want to be with for life. That being said, I'm okay with casual dating until I find that person. I'm aware that as a minor league player, I'm nothing special in the big scheme of things, but I would love to hear y'all's thoughts.
Is there a minor league team in Saratoga Springs?
No, we had the New York Penn League, though, in the summer.
Okay.
So that was like really good college ball.
Okay.
So the guys would, for their summer vacations, would, you know, you'd have like the billet houses and they'd come play probably a step below the Cape Cod League, if you've ever heard of that.
I have not, but I am curious to know, like, either there, and I imagine in college, there is a whole different situation.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ever came across any of those guys at the bars or kind of knew, like, oh, you know, the bar scene's just full of minor leaguers. Because I know in some smaller towns, it's quite a thing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Especially, I mean, small town, you know, middle America. This is mm-hmm. not, I'm not trying to offend. It's like, that's, some of those minor league teams are everything.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's, if it's not college football season, it's like the Birmingham whatever team.
All of my like thought of team names are going to be offensive and or insulting. Like, not because, you know, I'm going to name anything like racially problematic, but just because it's going to insult like the caliber of sport we're talking about. But I don't know. Well, you take this one first.
Yeah.
I've got to.
So I like this question because I've had to be careful with this because I used to be able to play the Barstool card, right?
Exactly.
And that is like its own can of worms because mm-hmm. you're either like, oh, go fuck yourself, or oh, that's so cool. Talk to, like, how's Big Cat?
Right.
So that would get me a lot of male attention at mm-hmm. bars versus female attention.
Yeah, but, just all the dudes.
But this goes to, like, my best friend in the world went to Harvard. And mm-hmm. that's the, you know, the Harvard name drop at a bar. Oh, where'd you go to school? Well, I went to this small school in Cambridge. It's like, okay. Oh, what do you do for a living? Oh, I, you know, I, I swing sticks, or
right.
I face 93 on the flag. You know, like there's obviously people who I don't take advantage is probably the wrong word of their mm-hmm. their stature on in playing pro baseball or
yeah.
pro hockey or whatever. And I've seen people that are like, oh yeah, like I'm in the Rangers farm system, or you know, I got a stint with the Avalanche last year for a couple of games. Now I'm on their AHL team.
They intentionally try to downplay it while mentioning it as frequently
correct.
As possible.
Correct. Yeah, that's the worst way to do it.
Yeah.
You either just, yeah, you know, lean into it. I play for this. That's what I do. I play for this team in this area. Yada yada. People are gonna be like, oh, cool. But if they are in that city for any period of time, it's happened before.
Right.
They're not gonna be, you know, unless you're putting up 90 goals a year, or putting up 30 home runs. I don't think you're getting that kind of attention. So I just be open about it and not be a dick about it. I don't know how to explain that other than I could see it. I could know it when I see it.
Is it harder, you know, and I guess not directly switched, but do you think it may be harder to avoid that coming up quicker in the online dating scene where,
yes.
like, you've got to, like, you know, the small talk immediately goes, oh, what do you do? Mm-hmm. As opposed to if you met somebody at a bar, like, yeah, that question comes up, and then it can just kind of be playful conversation about it, whereas, like, online – you offer that out or you have to allude to what you do, and then immediately like their personal mm-hmm. research begins and all of these other questions. So I think my gut feeling about it is don't feel like you're playing it to like play it to some sort of advantage.
Correct.
I think that's how you are perceiving it personally. Mm-hmm. Whereas I know that if somebody said this to a female friend of mine, the first thing she's going to do is either ask a male friend or Google it. And once your name isn't familiar to them, mm-hmm. it's going to be downplayed and or like, you know, not talked about in a negative way because it's a huge accomplishment. It's very impressive. You know, some guys will get that. Other guys will be like, I've never heard of them.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, just a dick move by the guy. But I think when approaching it with a girl, approach it no different than like, let's say you came for money. And at some point in time, there are going to be signs that that's the case. And you're not going to go out there and be like, oh, this is who I am. And this mm-hmm. defines me. If you're not trying to go into a relationship defining this person as like, hey, I'm a baseball player, then, you know, mention it and focus on everything else. Granted, if it becomes long term, she's going to have some understandings about what that would mean for lifestyle.
Correct. I also think you don't be coy about it.
Right.
You don't turn it into a game.
Yep.
When you're meeting people, like, oh, I play this little, like, I play sport for a living. Ha ha.
Right.
It's kind of like we do with a podcast, and it's like, oh, I do this really dumb like 21st century millennial thing where
exactly.
I do podcasts. There's no reason to do that. Yeah, I play for the Rockford Raiders or whatever the heck they are, and you can make a personal
Peaches.
Joke where, hey, I'm not good enough to play in the league, but I do my best at double
yeah,
A or whatever.
Making it the podcast association there, that always has put me in a weird spot, especially like in my role here in Wash and then previously where like the network that I was with was, as we would joke about, locally/regionally famous because, you know, not genuinely.
Mm-hmm.
But that was our like small to mid-sized podcast tagline basically. It's like, yeah, the people who listen are very engaged, you know, but I don't expect anyone to know any of us from it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what I do. And like, I'm proud of it. I really enjoy it. But at the same time, I'm not going to be like, oh, this is who I am and what I do. And so I get it. You have to find middle ground. But like you said, say it matter-of-factly. Don't beat around the bush. And, you know, she'll have more questions. Let her take the direction or whomever take the direction on asking, like, how much about it, how much you talk about it.
Bingo. Love that. You know what else I love, KJ?
Oh, I think I do.
Vizzy Hard Seltzer.
Oh, yes.
It is Pride Month, and we are excited to partner up with Vizzy to celebrate Pride in a meaningful way.
Yep.
We got a labelless can. Have you seen these cans, KJ?
I have.
The local, rainbow cans?
Local Duncanville watering hole actually was doing a bucket of Vizzies with these really slick cans. And your boy might have swung by and picked some up on
sale. I love it. Love it. They are reinforcing the beauty of loving our unique personal identity and living beyond pre-assumed labels. That's why we got that pack.
Mm-hmm.
It's also just more than vitamin C. It's more than just a hard seltzer.
Yeah.
It's got antioxidant vitamin C in the form of superfruit acerola.
Man, you know I'm all about that acerola.
All about that acerola. It's hitting this summer for sure. Vizzy flavors, KJ. You ready for these?
Yes.
You know the originals, the OGs, pineapple, mango, black cherry, lime, strawberry, kiwi, and blueberry pomegranate. But we're rocking with new ones this summer. How about some papaya passion fruit?
Got it.
How about some watermelon strawberry?
Also have that.
How about some blackberry lemon?
Yep.
You know what they say about the berry? Raspberry tangerine rounds out that variety pack, and we're also rocking with lemonade flavors, KJ.
Yes.
Watermelon, peach, raspberry, strawberry, all with antioxidant vitamin C. I am currently on a lemonade kick.
Yep.
As of this weekend, I had about 14 to 16. A couple at the pool. I've become the pool guy with Vizzies. And since I am a brand ambassador, technically, I've gotten into the, like, they're like, oh, what's that? I'm like, well, here's one for yourself.
Try it out.
And it's fun to see people react to me and give you, like, oh, that's better than so-and-so brand. Or, oh, I didn't expect it to be that flavorful or tasty. I'm like, yeah, guess what? 1 gram of sugar. Or if you're drinking the lemonade ones, 0 grams of sugar. How about that? Upgrade your hard seltzer to Vizzy. To find out where you can purchase Vizzy's limited edition Pride packaging or any of their other refreshing flavors, go to VizzyHardSeltzer.com/washed. That's VizzyHardSeltzer.com/washed. Or to get updates on our latest flavor drops and more, sign up for more emails at VizzyHardSeltzer.com/subscribe. That's VizzyHardSeltzer.com/subscribe. You must be 21 plus to order, of course.
Viz responsibly.
How about a voicemail, KJ?
Yes.
Hey, Brett. Love the pod and guest as well. So a little bit of a scenario here. I had met up with this girl on a dating app. We went out for tacos, had an amazing time, made out at the end of the night, and then made plans to see each other again soon. Week progresses, like, until the second time we were supposed to hang out. We start texting, like, almost every day, like, good morning texts and stuff. She even hit me up once on a Thursday while she was out at the bar, like, sent me a hi with a whole bunch of eyes and exclamation point. So it was obvious that things were going well, right, you'd think.
Mm-hmm.
So on this day, she invites me out to a bar, invites me and my buddy out to a bar, and then on the dance floor, maybe we had been there 40 minutes, she starts making out with another dude while I was, like, 4 feet from her. So, yeah, that happened. I just kind of want to know what you guys do to your best, like, when you're down bad. Like, what gets you out of the what gets you out of the rough when it's just, like, especially really hard? I'm definitely on my hotness journey, but I might need to kick things up there soon. Yeah, I'll hang up and listen.
Buddy.
Oh, no.
Buddy.
Oh, no. Dude's down just so bad, KJ.
I'd like to imagine he's calling, like, from the restroom as this just went down. And as he said, things are still hard. He's still, you know, blued up here. First, you know, the girl's not inviting you to the bar. She's saying, like, hey, I'm at the bar. Come out. Like, I wouldn't look at a bar invite as, like, hey, it's our second date.
Correct.
You know, this isn't your second interaction. Like,
especially if you're going with your buddy.
Correct.
She's with her girlfriends. There's a mutual, like, oh, hang out at the bar we're at.
Right. And, again, that's not to excuse that she's, you know, tonguing down some, you know, Todd down the way here.
Tonguing down a Todd down the
way. But I think, you know, assuming that y'all don't look identical. Like, if you look a lot like this guy, like, hey, pat yourself on the back. Mm-hmm. Or go make out with the guy, too. Like, join in.
Yeah, hop in.
You've got options.
Three's
here.
Company. Or you make out with a girl right in front of her.
Don't get petty. She matters nothing after this situation to you. Move on.
Yeah.
The first red flag, or yellow flag maybe, is, again, not like I'm in the dating app game at the time. I shouldn't say at the time. Not like I'm in the dating app game. Very bad phrasing there. After the first date and meeting, like, take a little breather. I'm not saying don't text, but, like, if you're immediately getting to, like, good mornings, mm-hmm. you're running out of material by the second date.
But,
like,
the good morning
give yourself
in the first week.
Yeah, dude. Give yourself some breathers here. I get it. We're all working from home, or maybe you're back in the office and you got a little time on your hands, but, like, you know, give somebody a reason to miss you and give yourself something to talk about next time you hang out. If you're good morning already, that means you're like, oh, what are you having for lunch? Oh, how's your day going?
Yeah.
Oh, what are you watching? Oh, did you see Chris Harrison? Was it there? Like, That's like six different conversations, man. You don't have shit to talk about by Saturday. No wonder she's like tonguing down, you know, Todd.
Yeah.
But anyhow, give like yourself some breathers and, again, move on.
Treat that first week of talking to somebody like a like your third tier priority Slack work text, where it's like the only time you're hitting that thing is if there's a meme that's absolutely necessary or like a task, like, hey,
yeah,
what's up for Thursday night? Though you, it's dangerous to
yeah,
put all the cards on the table in that first week with a texting conversation, because I'm saying girls here, so this is going to generalize.
Right, right.
I feel like they get scared easily, and scared in the
I'll
way of.
I'll let you
of,
be on that plank on your own.
Yeah,
no, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Here's watching this. Scared in the way that they get, turned off by being too forward or upfront or too clingy. I guess is.
I think that's probably being too needy, being too high maintenance from an attention standpoint, probably.
Yeah, when you're trying to pull like the 3-hour FaceTimes in week two. It's, let's
good night.
Pump the break. Yeah.
Now you hang up. I think you also hit on a good note here. I would look at it as if you have a podcast.
Okay.
There are going to be several times in our group text, like we interact on a daily basis via group text in two different threads, mm-hmm, you know, both about this show, about memes, whatever. But we all agree and know, like, if there was something that needs to be packaged, if you will, or saved for the pod or when we're hanging out in person, mm-hmm, like there are things you would throw in a text and then bigger stories and discussions to have in person. Like, maybe treat it like that, except for package all this like interest and I miss you type stuff. Give it some space. Allow yourselves to grow together. But good luck on the next one, bud.
Yeah. What
keep shooting shots.
The question he asked at the end was, what when you're that down bad, do you have a coping mechanism?
It's called go find the next person to make out with at the end of the first date, because certainly you don't have trouble getting to that point. Congratulations. And I don't mean this to be an asshole, mm-hmm, but I think that you've proven that you're, you know, in a position that somebody is interested in hanging out with you. There will be another.
You know what they say, the best way to get over somebody is.
Oh, nope. I don't even know where this ends.
Adam does. Let's do the next question, KJ. Brett and guest. Very formal here.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on getting set up or going on blind dates? Here's the background. I'm a post-grad who's 1 year out of university. Oh, we have a potential foreigner.
I was about to say international.
1 year out of uni and painfully single. I don't know why he's Australian, but. I never had any trouble dating in school, but a combination of moving to a new city, a pretty intensive job, and an ongoing global pandemic really tough over the last year. My friends have taken notice, and my roommate and his girlfriend have made a plan to set me up with a friend of theirs next week on a double date. They describe this girl as really nice, friendly, smart, active, etc., and she shares a lot of the same interests and hobbies as me. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
But I just creeped her social media and definitely do not find her attractive. I don't want to be mean and say she's not good looking, but she's just not someone I would swipe right on, if you know what I mean. What is my next move here? I like the idea of getting set up, but I am an asshole if I ask them for a different girl to do it with. I would also feel bad making everyone go through the trouble of a double date and lead this girl on, if I already know that nothing will come of it. Thanks. Love the pod. KJ. First, let's do blind dates, yes or no?
Yeah. Kay? Why not?
And
because it assumes you've got some mutual connection that knows enough about both of you that it's worth your time.
Mm-hmm. It feels good to have friends that think enough of you,
mm-hmm,
to put you in that situation in the first place.
Right.
It feels good to know that they know your interests enough that would vibe with somebody else. So I like the idea of blind dates. Do I like being on blind dates or set up? No, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't like the pressure that comes with it.
Is the pressure, though, I guess you feel like, hey, there's a referral situation involved here. I get that. But realistic, like, the interaction is going to be no different. And if anything, you've kind of got some common ground to start with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think on the surface, there's some positives to be had here. I would say, you know, I agree with the concept of I don't want to string anyone along here, mm-hmm, waste anyone's time. But at the same time, like, you're in a new city and you've admitted that you've had a difficult time finding dates or having, you know, relationships over the past year. Are you really in a position to have an interaction that could result in what, at worst, you have a friend?
That's TJ. That's the answer here. Dude, we're about to nail the same answer.
I get that he's trying to, you know, set me up with somebody I can marry and bang, but like, let's be realistic here. Like, if you're a good person, that person's not going to have a bad time if you came out and be like, yeah, it just wasn't there. Or, hey, we're just not the ones for each other. Nobody's feelings are hurt by that. But now you're saying, like, hey, you sound awesome. I looked at you. I cannot sit across the table from you for 2 hours. That sounds fucking horrible.
And he comes at it from the angle of, I don't want to lead anybody on.
Right.
Which I understand, I get. But here's the, and my big caveat in this thing is, I love meeting people.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said, if I had all the money in the world, I would start a bar in a ski town and I would bartend. That's like my dream, to meet people and hear people's stories. When it comes to a blind date, I just don't like the pressure of it being a blind date. A blind meet up with a friend, I am at my best. I love
stuff
like that.
As a group situation, I feel like you've got some of that pressure alleviated too.
Especially on a double date.
Yeah.
I don't want somebody saying, I made a reservation for you and so-and-so at whatever bar. It's you two. Go have fun.
Right.
I like a blind friend meetup. I've done that in Austin where it's like, hey, I have a mutual friend. I have a client who lives in Austin. You guys should meet up for a drink. Done that, and I loved it.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I didn't mean to. Would you be offended if you were in a situation where your friends were setting you up and they didn't tell you? Like, they had invited a friend there and invited you there separately without, like, the pretense of a date just to see what happened?
I don't think I'd be offended. I think I would be – I'd prefer they don't say that, even if that may be their angle. But I don't I know it's tempting to be like, oh, my friend who's single, you guys, you got to meet, you know, whoever is who's also single. And you kind of get off as like a couple trying to set friends up. And I'm guilty of it. Like, I've been like, oh, you're perfect for so-and-so to my boy, like my boys or Caroline's friends. Like, I'm guilty of that temptation to try to set somebody up. So I get this, but...
Can I admit to something? And I guess I can ask if I'm the asshole in this situation.
Okay.
So I had the weird situation. Somebody I don't know super well and only kind of really met once. And then a person I knew fairly well, but it's been a few years I'd hung out with them. But know them both well enough that if I shot a message, you know, a DM or something, it wouldn't be implied wrong or wouldn't be like, hey, who is this on the other side? Both of them had posted an Instagram story about 10 minutes apart, being in the same exact location, like it was a pool. A hotel pool, like downtown, in Austin, I should add. And so obviously I don't live here. And so it's a situation where I'm like, oh, I randomly see one story, see a different story, and they're not hanging out. There's no way they would know each other. I'm like, oh, I know somebody else is there.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing to the other side. It's like, by the way, this person, here's they're at. You see them, say hi. Awkward situation, because then it's not like I'm like saying, go date this person.
Totally.
I just happened to have seen it. Of course, it became uncomfortable when one party saw the message and had their phone. The other did not, so it got left on read. So that party's like, oh, did you tell them? And they just weren't interested in saying hi. So I came out of it feeling like a jerk, but then I was like, even if they would have met and nothing would have happened, like, was I a jerk for putting them in that weird situation? I'm like, I don't know.
No, you're not a jerk. That's fun. I've done that. Yeah. That's fine. Is being like, hey, y'all are both here. Cool people. If you meet up and use me as a mutual talking point, perfect. If not, nobody's. Yeah,
I feel like I would have been weirder had I only told one party.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I'd only said, hey, I know this person. You know, if you see them, blah blah blah, say hi. Because then I feel like somebody would have been at a disadvantage. But yeah, I don't mind being that person. I think in this situation, best advice, especially in new cities, even if you're not great at meeting new people and all of this, don't turn down the opportunities for finding new friendships and new connections.
100%.
This person might not be your wife or soulmate or anything like that, but you also have to give them the opportunity to say that you're not either.
Yeah.
You're assuming that this person's like all about you. Maybe they're not. But who are you to say like, hey, I don't have time to meet new people, because who knows who she knows?
Exactly. So. She's got friends.
Right.
Any connection is just increasing your network and the ability to make more friends. And I've seen, as I've made a concerted effort in the last probably 2 months here, I've seen how quickly your network can build,
mm-hmm.
and saying network sounds so douchey. I'm sorry, but like your friend groups and building. Circles, right?
Yeah.
How quickly those build, and you, all of a sudden now I'm not like sitting on my couch sometimes on a weekend, be like, I don't have anything right. to do. Now I have multiple people that I can text. And I love that about meeting people. So, at worst, it's an opportunity to meet a new friend, make a new connection, and get more friends out of it. And if you've been struggling with that over the last year, don't put any romantic expectations right. on it. Go from there. The lower the expectations, I've found the more often things tend to happen.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, KJ, here's the next one. Hey, guys. I got day drunk playing 18 at my local country club for a bachelor party. The groom is my future brother-in-law, and my wife is pissed. She told me to go on this party instead of spending time with her and my son. What did I do wrong, and what should I have done? I can see this situation. He goes, oh, yeah, we're playing 18. It's an 8:30 tee time. I'll see you for lunch. And guess who wasn't home for lunch?
He overpromised. Or she, like, agreed to it under the assumption, like, oh, you guys are just playing golf.
Golf, 18. She, you know, the old, like, oh, that's like 2 hours. No. It's not, and then 4.5 turns into 6.5 very quickly. Mm-hmm. 3 Vizzies turns into 7 Vizzies very quickly.
Yeah.
It's a bachelor party. You're trying to kind of impress the because he said it's sort of like the cross-family bachelor party. It's not necessarily your boys, but it's the what's it?
Sister or brother-in-law. It's her wife's. I deleted this part out. It wasn't really relevant. But it was like his wife's sister's. Fiance.
Oh, so there's a familial connection right. here, which is why there's like a, like she knows or they know you have a son at home type of thing.
Will and Drew.
Yeah. What did he do wrong, KJ?
I mean, there's some glaring omissions from this report here.
Yeah, did you get day drunk and come home and pass out in the driveway?
Exactly. Like where did your day end? You know, if yes. you're saying I got day drunk and then we went to a strip club at 2 a.m. later that night and I came mm-hmm. home in the morning. Okay.
Yep.
I see what you did wrong. If you're just saying I got drunk, came home tipsy, like, you know, quote unquote, what you did wrong. Either that or your wife was misinformed, or third option, maybe he's not the type to go out and get drunk and, gotcha. And come home blackout. I get it. As someone who's very liable, and the wife knows very well that, like, if I'm like, hey, I'm going to go have a couple, she'd be like, all right, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You know, she knows me better. Yeah. She's just like, all right, just don't drive. And we're good.
Uh-huh.
I think if you're married and you have a kid and that person knows you well enough and she knows your limits or what your history is, it's either a one-off or she knows you well enough to have known better in this situation. So either you overpromise that, oh, this won't happen again, or mm-hmm. it's a one-off and, you know.
I think, yeah.
Watch, give her time on her, like, with you and the kid, and give her some free time next weekend, and you're good.
Yeah. This is a very fixable problem. Yes. Just try to limit these. If you were, you know, if you did do something wrong where it was, hey, I'll be home at 2, and then you're home at 4:30. Yeah. I'll be home. You end up at 4:30 with no, like, you didn't bring food home. You're a little juiced up. Something I could see happening too, since this is the family tie. Mm-hmm. Your wife was talking to her sister about the groom who came home just fine at the time that he promised, and you came home 3 hours after the groom got home.
Yeah,
and a little couple more Michelob Ultras in, that could have been an issue. Just let's think of the connections here. Let's connect some dots.
Like, and I'm not going to throw any shade. I guess it's not a foreign concept to golf during a bachelor party, mm-hmm. but something about this being that he's like going home to his wife and kid makes it seem like that was the extent of the bachelor party.
Yeah.
Which I get it. We're not all trying to go rage on 36 for a bachelor party, but you know, I think if it's a bachelor party, you should have got the day blocked off.
Yeah. I think there's a playing devil's advocate defending my man here.
Mm-hmm.
I think there needed to be some expectation setting because for a day like that, a bachelor party day golfing, you should not have a problem.
You assume she's going to go on the bachelorette party. It's her sister.
Yeah, unless you told her, like yesterday, hey, tomorrow is so-and-so's bachelor party. you're cool with watching the kid all day.
Yeah, those things don't fly.
So we do need some context here, but the idea that what did you do wrong? You set expectations incorrectly. What should I have done was communicate and maybe put together a little bit of an itinerary, because if I know women, again, generalizing here, please don't at me. They like to be able to follow your schedule. And if you are out of that schedule, that's when problems arise.
True that.
I think we did well with that one, right? Yeah, it's not like we haven't been there before.
You're 2-0 with your generalizations. I just like the record to show these are all said by Brett. I'm kidding. I won't leave you out there like that.
Let's do the next one, KJ.
You want to read this one?
Oh, yeah.
What's one thing that you wish you'd gotten as a housewarming gift when you moved into your first place or into your first place on your own? My best friend since sixth grade is moving to his own crib for the first time with his girlfriend of over 3 years. I want to send him a dope-ass housewarming gift / package, and I cannot stress enough that money is not an issue. I only want to provide him with top-of-the-line and cool household items. Some details you may need before answering. We're in our late 20s. Both 28 to be exact. I'm 5'11", 190. Ding. Physique, that of a Greek god, chiseled out of marble. Truly a spectacle. Price is irrelevant. Second time for this exercise. I operate and own my small and very profitable.
That's three.
Thanks. We're not a Shark Tank here. Very profitable business in the great state of Maine. Okay, exaggeration number four. Homeboy ain't exactly a chef, so no kitchen items and accessories need not apply unless they're drinking related. It's a condo in Dallas. They have no yard, and they also have no pets. The last two notes, you wouldn't need to send them anything pet-related. Nobody's sending a housewarming gift for the pet. That's ridiculous. and if you're sending people yard-related gifts, I can't even imagine what that would be as a housewarming gift.
Hello, like, sir. Here's your
patio
lawnmower.
Furniture, maybe?
Yeah, I guess. You got to leave somebody their choice of patio furniture.
Yeah.
I got you a rocking chair.
Yeah, okay. What I want to ask you first, I guess, what you would really appreciate, like moving out of an apartment into house for the first time, like what things would be on your short list of like, I have these, it'd be great to replace them, you know, or it'd be really dope as hell to move into a place and have X.
Yeah, I think for me, what I'm excited for would be like a grill, right? Because I don't have one. But he mentioned no cooking stuff. My what immediately comes to mind is cooking stuff. If you don't want, if your homeboy and his chef. What also threw me off, KJ, on this question is he said, like, my best friend is moving into his own crib. Oh, and then he said, with his girlfriend. So,
yeah, it made it seem like he was getting his own place, but it's also he and his girlfriend. So
that goes from, like, awesome bottle of whiskey to something that's maybe more conducive to a couple in a house.
Yeah, like a dope-ass washer and dryer.
Yeah, how about a little washer and dryer? I got you 40 million dryer sheets. Yeah. I sponsored your drying of your clothing for the next 10 years. I think that would be a kind of funny housewarming gift. But
so grill, I think it's a great idea. The only concern here is that being a condo in Dallas
with no yard,
you've got hit or miss options on whether or not that's okay. Apartments, sometimes that's not kosher. Having moved out of a condo in Dallas into the home we live in now, I'm trying to think back of what things I would have appreciated at the time living there. The one kicker here is that he's got a girlfriend of 3 years. They're moving in together. He's buying a place. So you have to kind of assume maybe if engagement's on the way,
right,
you're going to be turning around and buying wedding gifts as well. So, you know, you're going to need to save something for that too, which you can rely on the registry there. But even if he's not a cook, maybe the significant other is, but more importantly, what will be more appreciated is, you know, if you want to splurge a little bit on some pots and pans, even if he doesn't cook himself, you know, either A, might inspire him to, or B, people just like showing that shit off anyway, especially in a condo, like you don't have a ton of room to get fancy, either that or possibly some artwork. And don't gift card it. Find something you think looks dope. You know, not like an Instagram ad, like big fucking, you know.
The flags with the
Big dollar bill with motivational words written across the front of them or something. But like, you know, find something tasteful and sizable because that can be pricey. and something that they wouldn't otherwise afford for themselves, assuming that the significant other doesn't have like some strict sense of style.
Yeah, that's
that would be greatly appreciated.
As long as you know their sense of style enough to say they're probably decorating this place with what they want, and if you're not getting them kitchen appliance or, you know, utensils, right? Mm-hmm. Or you're going like the bottle of wine, bottle of whiskey route. Like, I hesitate to be like, I'm going to get you a coffee table, or I'm going to get you, unless you just know your boy wants this house plant or something like that. I hesitate to get something that infringes on anybody's sense of style.
House plant would be dope, but I think I just thought of a nice option here. Might be something like a little pricier surround sound system or something of that nature.
Oh, like a Bose sound
bar. Yeah, because then, you know, whatever TV they're working with, they can figure that out. But if you, you know, go drop $500 you know, or so on a surround sound setup, that's something that they can use, or something along those lines. I think art or something to put on the walls would be key, especially if maybe they both went to the same college, either you and him or him and her.
Mm-hmm.
You can find something very tasteful and high end that's worth him putting up on the walls in the condo and then later maybe in his office.
What do you think about an engraved pizza stone by chance?
It's the only item that I have in my attic in which I've got multiples of, just from like I purchased one, got one as an engagement gift, and then got one as like a registry item. As the owner of three, I don't know how to use any.
Well, as the owner of 15, I don't need them either. But
high-end butcher blocks would also be dope as well.
Yeah, the cutting board route, make it, they have the custom ones now, so you can get something that kind of vibes with what you and your buddy, you know, going back to your relationship from sixth grade. Maybe you go that route, you get a little sentimental with it, and you go to your hometown and provide a utensil holder, or you get some homage to your hometown that
you can be kitchen adjacent without having to cook, especially like in non-spawn here. Rosewood Blocks is a like smaller like custom butcher block place out of Arkansas, I believe. Really, really nice high-end work, and they do a lot of custom stuff, but beautiful pieces. And that's something that like
cut that out.
You have usually in condos, I'm thinking when you go in, like your kitchen's likely an open space.
Mm-hmm.
You can set that kind of as a display piece, and then something, you know, maybe you've got other shit on top of it, but it's always prominent in that place if it's nice enough and high-end enough. So those are my three suggestions: surround sound, wall art, or butcher block.
Okay, I'm going with a bottle of wine / whiskey, so alcohol, a token of your hometown, whether that might be something from every hometown is like a little antique shop or something like that. Three would be glasses, either nice whiskey glasses, nice wine glasses, because those get expensive. And they're always nice to have some crystal laying around.
There you go.
Maybe engrave it with your something. I don't know. Let's do the last one, KJ. Brett and guest. I started a new job in January, and I am, by quite a few years, the youngest person within the group of people I interact with at work. I don't know what to do with my cadence on that. I don't know if you can tell. I was all
over
the place.
It's written a little bit strange.
Out of the blue, I received an invitation to a wedding from a coworker for his daughter's wedding, whomst I have never met. I received the invitation in the mail, and it does include a plus one, but other than my date and the father of the bride, a.k.a. my coworker, I would pretty much know zero people there, and it almost feels inappropriate to attend, considering I don't even know the names of the people getting married as I write this. How do I go about getting out of this wedding, but in a polite way? This coworker isn't my boss or anything, but has a lot of connections, and I would like to stay on his good side if possible. Thanks, and keep up the great work. I have two things here. Mm-hmm. Either you politely have something that weekend, unfortunately. Oh, yep, my Delaware vacation to Rehoboth Beach is that weekend, or my preferred option, go have a blast at a wedding. How many times do you get to go celebrate love with dope-ass appetizers, decent dinner that nobody's ever going to remember, and dancing to Shout with your coworkers, who are definitely going to be more than just you there? You're not the only coworker to get this.
That's a strange thing here. I'm like, you've already alluded to having a group of people that you interact with, and I get that you're the youngest. In fact, I prefer when you've got a range of ages in a workplace like this. I will very strongly guarantee that the guy was not like deliberately inviting you as much as he was like doing the old school route of let people know, shoot them an invite, mm-hmm. give them the opportunity. He's the one paying for it, you know, if traditional means yeah. are uncovered here as the father.
Nice generalization, KJ.
You know, exactly. If he's a father bride and he's cutting the check and he's like, hey, whatever, you want to come drink, and he's set it somewhere dope, maybe give it a consideration. But also, said this before, you know, comes with maturity, but it's the sooner you learn to protect your time and argue for your time, the better. Mm-hmm. That invitation likely has the option to check no.
Yes.
Just send that back. Don't like hint that you might be going or whatever. Just check no, send mm-hmm. it back. End of story. Because that daughter's probably the one managing the fucking Excel spreadsheet, and all she knows is that an invitation went to your address. She doesn't know who it is. She might think you're her dad's like best coworker friend, mm-hmm. and just wondering if she needs to fit you in. So like, don't hesitate to send back a no. Or if you go, be prepared to buy her a dope gift.
Yes.
That would cover the cost of your attendance.
I totally agree. Yeah. Cover the cost of your attendance. If you do go, I'm obsessed with weddings, so I lean the yep. route of not only meeting people, but weddings. That's like my two favorite things. Yep. So that's why I lean to, especially if you have a plus one.
There should be other coworkers.
There's going to be other coworkers.
And if you don't bring your significant other if there aren't other coworkers, bring another coworker.
Boom,
as your plus
perfect.
One.
Yeah, bring a coworker
friend. That would be your better bet. Two people that know him that you can at least have some mutual enjoyment of the experience yeah. with, and not have to drag your significant other who's another degree detached. Mm-hmm. Take a coworker as your plus one if there aren't others and you want to go.
Unless it's not local. If it's not local,
yeah.
don't buy a flight for this.
Man, I'm glad y'all did the Destination Weddings episode. Yeah. The work on this show is always great.
Thank you.
As someone who just attended their first in Playa Mujeres, I'm butchering that, and down outside of Cancun mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago, that was a new experience. So there was a lot I wish I'd known before that trip, before I got there, but still. You know.
I wish I could have done a play-by-play from your weekend because you were having a better time than I think any of us have had. Not that you were like obliterated or anything, but just the vibes.
Oh, I was. It was electric. I was doing a very poor job with the public content, but
the private content. Was
your
fire.
Boy was. I had a streak of about 15 drinks, and none of them were similar to the last. I was just like, all right, whatever. This sounds great. Order it.
So, oh, that just anyhow, gave me the chills.
Mix
KJ.
It up, people. Mix it up.
As a person who
shouts to Liquid IV for get me through it.
There you go. There you go. That'll do it for questions. As far yes. as shower thoughts, KJ, you're familiar with the segment?
Oh, yes. I'm eager to hear yours because you seem to be a little bit twerked up to give your take on things.
I am. And this shower thought is more of a shower steam, mm-hmm. if you will. I went to a spot this weekend. You know, the reservation scene in Austin is one of inconclusive results, I'll put it that way, where some places like to book their reservations up because they want to give the appearance that it's an exclusive
the
restaurant.
The fake line outside the bar?
Correct.
The club?
Some places are truly sold out. I've had multiple occasions where this weekend both happened to me. But this one place in particular, it's a rooftop bar that I won't name because I do enjoy their cocktails. We got up there, a group of us, some clients in town, actually. Mm. And there are 40 open tables, and we get up there, and it's Sunday night. It's not like it's Saturday night at 9:30. It's Sunday at like 8.
And they try to act like everything was booked up?
Everything's booked. Can't get in without a reservation. Can't do this. Can't do that. Can't sit at the bar because that's for hotel guests only, which was not a problem literally 2 weeks ago when I showed up with my computer to do some work there. And I was like, hang on a minute.
Did you get the impression that it may be a situation like, hey, relative to our staffing levels, we're booked up?
No, KJ, there was 40 people walking around with the polos on. And I kind of looked at her, the hostess, and kind of gave like what about those three empty tables? Oh, those are for only hotel guests. Okay, what about the other side of the restaurant with plenty of room here? Oh, those are booked for reservations.
And you weren't wearing like Jordans or anything?
I was not. I couldn't understand the lack of like, hey, let me see what we can do.
Right.
You know, can we have one of the nine tables for hotel guests only that has currently nobody at it to do some business at? I just don't understand why restaurants get off on that like a lot of them do. You know, it's just the need to be so exclusive and we can't let you in without a reservation that you booked 9 days ago. Like, I don't get that.
Yeah, I think unless there's, you know, the funny part is to me that I also get miffed if I see a company like blaming staffing and or COVID staffing issues, because in my head that just translates to we're not paying enough for the job.
Totally.
But if they are truly like trying to make their services available in a manner that their staff can support, I get it. It's business. I get it. But on the flip side, tell you that instead of saying we're all booked, being like,
correct,
hey, we're a little shorthanded. We're trying to make sure that everyone has a positive experience, so we serve people as best as possible. So this is what we're working with at capacity. If that's not the case, you know, you're not doing yourselves any favors by, you know, tapering off sections or whatever. You know, because it happens in restaurants too. You'll go places and they'll close down a section if they don't have a server for it. If the excuse isn't that, then I don't know what to tell you, man. That sucks.
We were standing there. I was like, can we book a room? Like, I just don't understand the point of one table, two tables, whatever, like the hotel section, which is the pool section. Great. That I understand. I'm not going to go up and take your pool time if I'm not a hotel guest.
For sure.
But the side of the bar with two seats at it? Come on, guys. Anyway, that's my shower steam.
My shower thoughts. Not as anger fueled. As yours, but mine is focused entirely on the indie film collection. It's a saga of sorts. I don't know if you've heard of this series, Fast and the Furious.
Oh yes, okay.
Yeah, it's a small
artistic film.
Art house piece.
Yeah, Sundance,
if you will. F9 was released this past weekend, and while I'll probably see it at some point in time, I'm not rushing out to see them. It seems to become a cool thing of late to, like, you know, treat this as if it's Star Wars or something and go watch every single one. I don't know whether it's a bit or not, whatever. Mm-hmm. Not my problem. The issue I'm having here a little bit, or that I'm finding strange, is that Vin Diesel and the promotion of this movie has all been focused on the, it's time to return back to cinemas, ladies and gentlemen, or we're bringing cinema back. And I'm like, okay, when did these people come? Like, you know, Zack Snyder here, like, I get it. You'd prefer people to be in the movies and you know, pay their hard-earned dollars. But, like, it's not Vin Diesel's, like, job to tell me get off the couch. You make the movie. I decide if I'm showing up in person or not.
Leaning into the marketing by saying, hey, we're carrying the torch. Get back in and see this.
Movies are back. And I'm like, okay, man, I get it. Magnets, cars, explosions. 22 years later, you still kind of look the same. It's going to be compelling. I get it. Like, if they would make, I don't know, Armageddon 3, where, like, you get, like, reanimated Bruce Willis, like, dug out of an asteroid, I would watch that and I'd be happy about it. But Bruce Willis at the end wouldn't be like, you need to see this in IMAX.
Yeah.
As the only way that my film can be respected. Which, shout out to Fajita Lady on her 1 year anniversary as well. That's my shower thought.
Shouts to her. On that same vein, Top Gun 2 comes out in like a week.
Does it? Have they pushed
it? Is that the worst marketing job in history?
It's been delayed. I don't know if it's been delayed again, but I know it got pushed like everything else. If it truly comes out on 4th of July next week still, that's sad.
It did get pushed back.
Okay,
again.
Okay. That's why.
That's the fourth time.
Yes.
But it comes out weirdly July 7th in Belgium still. So that's why I saw the date July 7th, and that's why I was like, where is this marketing campaign?
Okay.
Now we're rocking with November 19th.
All right. Well, you expect me to see it online on Kazaa July 8th.
With Belgian language and English subtitles.
Exactly.
It's French, I guess.
Sure.
Maybe a Belgian dialect of French?
I know they make beer and chocolate.
JJ, that'll do it for the Mail-In Podcast. Did you have a good time?
You know, thinking back on it, I've got another shower. I'm kidding. No, yes, I had a great time. 5 stars.
Thank you for coming. We will absolutely have you on again. In conclusion, subscribe, rate 5 stars, review, and tell a friend about the podcast. Hit the hotline to leave a voicemail, 888-362-MAIL. That's 888-362-6245. Or you can write in at the link in the Twitter bio at Mailin Podcast. KJ, where can the people find you?
At KJ Ellis with ones as the L's. Or you know what? If you're feeling sportsy, at Too Much Dip Podcast.
Ooh, I like that.
Always my voice. 100% of the time, always my voice.
We will see you next week. Adam, shouts to you over there. Thank you for running the ones and twos.
Thanks, Adam. Sorry for the cock tease of putting a mic in front of your face and saying, be ready.
See you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.